Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. And we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Amen. And so, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your mighty hand that's upon us. And Lord, we're asking right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Obey God or Rebel. Your choice. Obey God or Rebel. Your choice. So let's read the scriptures together. It reads, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Jesus said that in the last days before he comes, that one of the things, one of the signs of his return is that there will be a falling away, meaning an apostasy. What does that mean? That means people that started out running well, and for whatever came their way, whatever situation that has happened, some of it's tragic. Some of it's financial, some of it's relational, but something altered their course and they decided to just stay away from the things of God, and they started growing cold, and all of a sudden they're not in church no more. Well, I'm here to let us know that that's still a choice to make. Can I get an amen? Despite of circumstances, despite of situations that rise up, we should have the tenacity to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Can I get amen? We have to have the understanding that because God loves us so much, is that we need to embrace him, because at one time we were lost without a cause. And he came and pursued us. And then when he found us, he changed us from the inside out. Why would we want to go back to Egypt? That's the question I want to ask. What's there that can be offered to us that God now has changed us, give us a new heart, a new mind, a new profound love for the things of God? What would entice us that strongly to go back to Egypt? Well, let's look at this. To the best of your knowledge, are you fully surrendered to our Lord Jesus Christ? Now notice, it's not to just Christ, not to just Jesus, but Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Lord meaning he is Lord of all, and we have submitted to his lordship. Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus is the only name that can save you, and Christ is the anointed one, the anointing. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he anoints you and he approves you and then he assigns you. Can I get an amen? And so if he is your Savior and Lord, then this should be your wholehearted response. Although, saints, we all love the comfort of knowing that we are saved and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there should always be progress in every area of our lives.
but it's through a surrendered and obedient life to the will of God. There has to be submission unto him. One of the things that I find, and I need us to pray for our brother. I said that I need to pray for him. You all know Brother David Block. He got saved. He was the born-again Jew. He ran into, I'm not going to give her name away, but just pray. He ran into a woman who's an apostate. She's hurt. She's left church. And she's convinced them that you're in the wrong church because you're not worshiping on Saturday. See, the enemy will come in so many different ways. I try to share with him that Christ is our Sabbath now. And we worship God every day. And I try to convince them that Saturday, that day did not save you. Jesus saved you. A day don't save you. But this is where we're at now in the world that we live in. And I prayed for him. I told him the doors will always be open for you. We love you, brother. I'm going to pray that God will bring truth to you. But I had to tell him that sometimes even in our lust, the enemy will use that to show you the error. And so you need to pray. That's why we haven't seen him. And I love the brother. I think highly of him. And to get caught like that, it's mind-boggling. But it's the day that we live in. And one of the things that apostates do not want to do is come under any kind of accountability. They don't want any kind of spiritual authority. They're freeloaders or freelancers or they're basically out of the will of God. Oh, I can just stay home and read my Bible. But the Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves for such a time as this, that because the day of the Lord is soon. How many believe that we need each other? We need to bond together in the unity of the faith. And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge. And if things come to our life and things that oppose us, we should be there for one another to lift each other's burdens. Can I get amen? Pray for one another. That God eventually will see us through. You see, saints, if he is your Savior and Lord, we should be totally surrendered. Look at this. Because a surrendered life begins at salvation. It starts right there. The unbeliever doesn't know how to surrender. The unbeliever just runs their life rampant. It just, there's no structure. There's no decision to do right or wrong. They just have a one-word thinking, and that's me, myself, and I. That's it. But when we come into the saving knowledge, we learn, hallelujah, that Jesus now is in control. Can I get amen? That he's our Father, he's our God, he's our Lord, and he's the one that will lead us to greener pastures. So, a surrendered life begins at salvation. Look what it says in Proverbs. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. But look at this. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. And how do we guard our soul? By submitting to God's word. Submitting to the lordship of Christ. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to follow our own thoughts and mankind. See, right now, our school system, in the day that we live in, from college to high school to middle school to elementary, it's all now humanism. They've removed prayer, they removed God's word out, and so now they're left to a humanistic point of view. And once you remove the authority of God's word, then now you have a generation of rebellious people. They want to live their life the way they want and don't tell us how to live it. Well, Look at what Paul wrote to the Roman church. He wrote it best. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being what? Alive from the dead. And members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood was applied, now we have become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Now we have a new character, a new nature. Now we can love God, and more importantly, we can learn to love one another. That's one of the hardest things to do without Christ. So saints, we must recognize that there is nothing we can do to save our souls, but must wholly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who bore our sins and paid the penalty that we deserved. And so how ironic, saints, that we surrender our souls to his authority for salvation, yet we try to control other areas of our lives. So what's that one area that we're not giving to him? We're going to always be boxing with God if we don't surrender everything to him. Look how Paul wrote to the Ephesians church. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. You see, you can't work to be good. You can't work to be saved. It's a gift from God. And when God blesses you and you become saved, now you can do the work. Because he has empowered you by his love, by his grace, by his authority, by his word, by the anointing of God. Lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should what? Walk in them. This is what God wants us. He wants us to walk in the plan he has set out for us. And how many believe that his plan is better than our plan? That's right. His plan is so much better. You'll find out that it's more fulfilling and it's more richer. I remember back in the day before I got saved, it was a horrible plan that I instituted for myself and my family at the time. And then God had to alter that. And now, it's a blessed life. How many would rather walk in God's blessings than walk? Remember that movie, The Way We Were? Well, so if Jesus is our Savior and we acknowledge him as Lord God, then we should realize that he is the Lord of our lives as well. Because there's a difference. Yet many Christians resist full surrender to Jesus because it seems too costly and it seems too demanding. Oh, no, no, I got to come out and pray. I can just pray at home. No, when you come together in the unity and the faith, there is power. There's anointing. In the natural, try to barbecue your meat with one coal. Light up that coal right there and put your meat on one coal. No. You need about 40 or 50 more, don't you? Then there's a fire. Well, when we get together in the unity of the faith, we come together with fire, with anointing. Can I get amen? And the power comes. That's right. And we're all in one accord, one mind. Thank you, God. But look what 1 Peter says. It says this, for the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, that's us. Some of us, I'm telling you, he came right before you were going to commit suicide, before you were going to die, before you were going to get shot, before you were going to get killed. He came and saved our bacon. Look at this. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. All God is saying, you know what? Just love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Learn to walk in his ways. Learn to love the things of God. Learn to love each other as he has loved us. Let me tell you, when you start walking in that way, your life will become fulfilled. You know why? Because the big problem that you had, all of a sudden, it becomes, man, that thing was bothering me. You see, I find this out. If I'm being inundated with a problem or whatever, you know what helps me is to go pray for someone else, to go minister to someone else, to go lift someone up in prayer. Then all of a sudden, that big problem I had becomes this little. I go, man, I was worried about that. But we have to learn to love God and trust God. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. God is a good God. I hope you know God is a good God. How many believe he's a good God? He's a mighty God, isn't he? So saints, it's not like surrendering to another person because we yield ourselves to God. It includes every area of our lives, even the things hidden deep within our hearts. Yet this absolute surrender is exactly what God expects because Christ died for us and we belong to him. How many believe that we belong to him? That's right. We are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. So full surrender is God's perfect will for our lives. Not surrender to one another, surrendering to God. When you surrender to him, everything, then the pieces of the puzzle come together. And now we're seeing things clearly. We're seeing the mind of Christ, the will of God. We're seeing God's plan is better. Can I get amen? So Paul wrote to the Roman church. And he said it perfectly. He said it just like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is, that's our reasonable service. It's to love God, love each other, and that when we come in the midst of unbelievers, that they would see Jesus in you. Why? Because if you present yourself as a believer, as a born-again believer, guess what? It becomes infectious. People are going to want what you have. Trust me, they may look callous and they may look proud, but on the inside, they're hurting. And they want what you have. Why? Because you're showing them a whole different side. You're showing them love, grace, mercy. Why? Because that's what God shows us. Love, grace, and mercy. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't stamp you out like a roach when you started sinning? I'm so thankful. God is long-suffering with us, isn't he? Yes, he's a loving God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the only way you're going to understand the perfect will of God is knowing who God is. You need to know his character. You need to know his attributes. You need to know his ways. You need to know how he dealt with people in the past and how he still deals with us in the present and how he's going to deal with folks in the future. Jesus said, I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's nothing new under the sun. Can I get an amen? We just need to fall in love with the Savior. Thank you, God. So saints, the application of this principle looks different for each believer. Did you know salvation is tailor-made just for you? There's some things that he's doing in your life that wouldn't work for me. That's right. There's some things that bore me, and there's some things that I love, and vice versa. That's right. But God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. It's tailor-made. Aren't you so blessed to make us like robots? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. No, he didn't make us like that. He gave us free will to choose, to love, to cherish, to uphold, to adhere, to admonish. He saved us for such a time as this, saints. Yes, he has. But we can each sense what he is asking us personally to relinquish. There's some things that sometimes he says, hey, maybe it's time to let that thing go. It's a conviction or that thing that keeps cropping up when we pray. See, when you start praying, God starts revealing things. A lot of times, he won't reveal them to us, but he'll reveal them to you because those are your personal issues. This is what I love about God. He doesn't like to pull your cover and make a mockery of you. He doesn't operate like that. But he will show you the deep recesses of your heart. You know what they are. And some of us can hide them real well. Oh, no one sees that. That's right. But God does, doesn't he? That's right. It may be a bad attitude or habit, or it could be something that isn't sinful, but it's not presently part of God's will for our lives. So this is why this is important. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of full surrender. We need to look at his life. We need to examine his life and how he surrendered everything to the Father. And once we see that picture played out, we need to emulate that. We need to say, man, if God did that, oh God, strengthen me that I could do that. That I can live for you like that. Did you know that Jesus was 100% man and also 100% God? So he felt the infirmities. He felt rejection. He felt all the things, the mockery and all the scourging and the beatings and all the things he had to endure. He was like a man like us. He had to endure the cross. But he had one thing in mind. He had you and me in mind. He did it for us. He knew that at the point of death, when he would surrender his spirit to God, that in 3 days he would rise again. Aren't you so blessed that he rose again for us to give us life? Because if he did not rise again, we would be men and women most miserable. We would be here just having a social meeting. No, we're here because of the power of the one that rose again from the grave. Can I get an amen? Jesus rose again. Thank you, God. So Jesus did the will of his Father, yet toward the end of his life, he struggled to surrender in the garden of Gethsemane. As he withdrew from his disciples, this is what he prayed. He said this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. What is God saying to you and I? Hey, surrender that. Give something, give that one thing that's hindering you and watch God do the miraculous. God will replace it with something better. I hope you know that. You see, his cup was he had to go to the cross. See, he gave up. Jesus right away gave up the thought that, well, maybe I'll get up on that cross and then call thousands of legions of angels and wipe them all out. He had to reject all these things that would come his way because the perfect will of God was to die on that cross for us, that we would be here today glorifying him and magnifying him. You see, saints, Jesus knew that he had come to die for the sins of mankind and be fully God. He foresaw all that awaited him as he suffered on the cross and bore the Father's punishments for our sins. Look what it says right here in 2 Corinthians. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can I get an amen? So now we can walk around on this earth knowing that we are right before God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Yes, we still live in the body of flesh. Yes, we still have thoughts that come that are not like God. We get that. But now we stand before him in his presence. And when he looks down, all he sees is the blood. All he sees is the blood. because the blood has wiped away all of our sins that we only know a fraction of. All the other things that are hidden from us, he has cleansed them and he has done away with them. Can I get amen? This is why when he comes, he's coming back for us. That's why don't miss out on that movie. It's gonna come together like pieces of a puzzle, and you're gonna understand why he needs to come back. Because there are things still left undone. Thank you, God. And so his distress demonstrates that surrender is not always easy and can be excruciating. Yet he never wavered from complete obedience to his Father's will. There was no other way to accomplish the salvation of mankind. Therefore, Jesus offered himself fully to the Father before the penalty of the sins that were on us. He came to abolish them. Praise God. Look what it says right here in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. In other words, he came like us. And coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he looked at this, that there will be deliverance, healing, there will be salvation, but he had to come to the cross. This was the only way. And he did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. And so this is the same kind of attitude we should have, saints. Not my will, but yours be done. Can I get an amen? Saints of God, God's only, listen, his purpose for us before he returns is that we would walk in the fullness of Christ, the fullness of joy. And the only way we're going to experience that is to submit totally to him. And walk in obedience unto him. And learn to love the things of God. And learn to dislike the things that he dislikes. Can I get amen? Right. If there's things that he dislikes and he's saying, hey, you know what? Maybe you need to let that go now. Give it to him. Listen, he won't hit you on the head and snatch it from you. You know what he's waiting for? Hey, you just surrender it to him. And then watch him replace it with something so joyous, you're going, oh my gosh. Now, in a military sense, surrender means defeat. You know, the flag, or when a boxer is getting pummeled, the corner throws in a towel, right? It's a sign of surrender. But for a follower of Jesus Christ, it means victory over whatever is hindering our Christian life. So when we surrender unto God, it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. It's the opposite. See, the kingdom principles are totally opposite of the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, it says, I need to climb and step on people to get where I need to go. And I don't care who I hurt, who I step on, I need to get there. But in the kingdom of God, the Bible says, humble yourself at the side of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. So you walk humbly before him. Hallelujah. He will appoint you. He will bring you to a place of prominence with him in his time. But the world wants, I want it now. I want to take it now. And I don't care if I hurt you, but I want that now. That's not how God operates. Surrender to his will. Say, God, if that's for me, I'm going to wait on you. In the meantime, I'm going to worship and praise you and serve you. And I'm going to glorify you. And if that's for me, you will deliver it to me. And I'll know, because I'll have peace and joy. I'll know that I didn't step on someone's neck to get there. Can I get amen? Amen. That's how God works. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthian church like that. He said it best like this. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Look at this. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. You see, people that say, you know what? Yeah, man, I'm a believer. The only way to be disqualified is that you've never been born again. You maybe came to an altar and said a sinner's prayer, but you're still at home living like the devil. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we were here worshiping God and praising him. Hallelujah. We are the qualified saints. Hallelujah. Washed in the blood. Can I get an amen? How many believe that you are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name? Come on. See, the devil wants to bring all kinds of mischief and lies, and he's the big spin doctor. But he's a liar and the father of it. Man, believe God. Believe Jesus. Believe the Bible. Believe the word. Believe the prophecies that come forth. Believe God for all things and watch him do the miraculous in your life. Can I get amen? And so, this one little thing isn't that important. After all, no one is perfect. We all have our weaknesses to God. God will understand. And that's how we play God. Oh, he knows. He knows. But I still like that pet peeve of that sin. He understands. Really? You see, when he brings something to mind, we should relinquish it to him. Can I get amen? Once we trusted Jesus as our Savior, we must recognize that we now belong to him. Full surrender is like opening the closets of our lives and inviting him to clean out whatever he wants. To try to keep parts of our lives to ourselves only hinders our walk with him. Yet we rationalize that statement. He knows. But that's not how the Lord operates. I hope you know that. Look at this, saints. What does it mean to yield ourselves to God? What does it mean to yield, to surrender, to submit? For some, okay, I'll show up on Sunday. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And then God's a million miles away come Monday. It requires that we open our hearts and live to the Lord, asking him to take out whatever that does not please him. Can I get amen? We must be willing to confess, repent, walk away, give it up, and lay it down. Until we do, we will never become the person he wants us to enjoy his blessings. How many want to enjoy his blessings? Then learn the kingdom principles. These are kingdom principles. These are not man-made. This is not humanistic. This is not from an atheist point of view. This is not from Dr. Spock, Dr. Phil, and Oprah. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John. I love 1 John. You know, when we watch that movie next week, it opens up with a man writing on a scroll, and that's the picture of John. And John's writing these things, and he's talking about the great, he opens up in this documentary, the great tribulation that's coming, and there's never going to be a tribulation like that. There was never one like that in the beginning of the world, and there's never going to be one like that again, yet it's coming. And then he goes on throughout that documentary about the Galilean marriage and how God must come back and consummate it. But John wrote one of the Gospels, and then he wrote Revelation, and he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He wrote the other additional books of his teachings and his writing, all on the island of Patmos. I've been there before. Sister Ilana, we've been to Patmos. We went on a side trip. We went to Israel. And so from Israel, we went to Ephesus in Greece. No, Turkey. Excuse me, Turkey. And then we got on a boat. It was a four-hour boat ride on the Aegean Sea. And man, I had to knock myself out because I don't do good when it goes like this. I'm okay if it goes like that. I'm no good if it goes like this. So it was one way, and it was going like that. So I was okay. Water was splashing over the deck. Wow. On the Aegean Sea, then we got to the island of Patmos, and it was a beautiful place, beautiful place. First thing we did is we docked. We got off the boat. We went to a restaurant. And, you know, they were doing the Greek dancing and all that. And then we toured the island of Patmos. I mean, right in the cave where they all believe this is where John wrote Revelation. And we were there, and you know, and they had it all decorated in Orthodox Greek, you know, and I get that, I understand that. But that's the true geographical place where he wrote. And he wrote Revelation from Revelation 1 all the way to 22. And he wrote about Revelation 8, the wormwood prophecy. I'm not going to give that away till you see it next week. My goodness, all that is there for our understanding. But look at what he wrote in 1 John. Look, I want you to just see this. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? And do not what? We don't practice the truth. Now, I know from what I've observed in 12 years that those who attend this church truly love God. Because I see the fruit. I see the love of the saints. You guys love the saints. You guys love the word. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the word of God. Look at this in verse 7 here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. The word of God's just backing what I'm saying, that it's the blood that covers our sin. Amen? It's not works of righteousness that we have done. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is what? Not in us. Look at verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some? And all means what? All. All unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Remember, I don't know, I might be going way back with one of these commercials, but remember, would you say Woolis? Remember that one? Would you say Woolis? Well, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us if we hold on to certain things and say, oh, I'm all right. It's easy to paint a pretty picture of Christianity that leaves out the cost of surrender. We rejoice in answered prayer, the promises of Scripture, the security of our salvation, and the heartfelt praise. But none of these are a substitute for wholehearted obedience and surrender to God. There's got to be a surrenderance to him. You will know that you're his disciples. You will know without a shadow of a doubt. To be a disciple of Christ means every aspect of our lives to be given to him. And it's evident in our conduct, conversation, and character. Look how Jesus put it. He put it simply like this. If you love me, keep my what? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. You know what that helper is? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth comes in. And so what you're listening right now in this message, it's all for the word of God. It's truth. There's no lie spun here. The Spirit of truth, look at this, capital S, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world doesn't understand the things that we understand. It's like goobly-goo to them. It's just garbage. It's just, they don't comprehend it. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are shut. But for us, the Holy Ghost is alive and well, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will what? Come to you. So just go back when you got saved. Jesus came to you. He called you by your name. He gave you a mind to be saved. He gave you a heart to repent. And the next thing you know, you were crying out, oh God, forgive me. You came to a place that you never came ever in your whole life. And then, bam, the great exchange. We gave him our black heart. He gave us a heart of flesh. And then he put his spirit in us. And he gave us a new nature, a born-again nature. See, Jesus said it best here in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. See, this is not about humanism, atheism, you know, a unbelieving point of view. You know when Jesus comes in, when he came in, you became born of him, and now his spirit bears witness in your soul. And he's there forever now. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, in verse 5, is I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. We can't do nothing without God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Wow. But look what he says in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Isn't that a blessing? I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of your life, man, he wants to do what the world cannot do for you. Amen. The world could give you all kinds of treats and goodies and things that fade away. But what God gives us, it's eternal. It'll never fade away. And so, saints, what would happen if we gave ourselves fully to God? What would happen? What do you think would happen if we just fully said, God, I give you everything, God. He delights to work in our lives when we recognize him as Lord, number one. Such surrender affects our prayers, generosity, conversations, attitudes, families, workplaces, and interactions with those who don't know Christ. So when we fully surrender, guess what's now operating in you? Come on, so I know you know that. The Holy Ghost. But what else is operating? Oh, come on, sister. She knows her word. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, God has a reservoir of abundance of his fruit. Can I get amen? And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. You see, that's what God wants for us all. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you so much, he wants to give you his attributes. He wants to give you his power. He wants to give you his ways better. You see, because the works of the flesh, I didn't put them down, but I know majority of them are mine. The works of the flesh are what? Lying, killing, murder, deceitfulness, backbiting, you know, tell-bearing. Yeah, tell-bearing is gossip. Hey, guess what? and there's and that person that you're talking about don't even know you're talking about them. Then all of a sudden they come into church, and these people that you blasted are now looking at them with a different look. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry. That comes from the devil. Because the devil's a liar and the father of lies. We need to walk here. We need to let this demonstrate love and joy and kindness and meekness and gentleness. We should be there when someone says, I need prayer. Man, we should drop Pat and go pray. Can I get amen? It's easy to criticize. It's a whole lot harder to love. Criticizing comes naturally because the flesh does that. So, saints, how would God respond if we yielded ourselves to him? How would he respond? Huh? Some people resist surrender to God because they fear he'll take something or someone away from them. In other words, man, I just got saved, and man, I'm ready to get married. And then we go out looking for an uncircumcised Philistine. If you listen, I'll sign over my home to you if you can find that God says there's missionary dating. This is what has baffled me in pastoring a church for 13 years. Someone just gets excited, got saved, and all of a sudden, someone out of their life or someone came out of nowhere and pulled them away. Thinking, this is what God has for me. And the next thing you know, it tore them up from the floor up. Instead of planting your and growing and getting deep in the roots and being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Oh, man, look what came in my life. And all of a sudden, the things of God doesn't even matter no more. But God is saying, let me take that from you. I will give you something better, but wait upon me. Just wait. Yeah, and here's the thing. Sister Linda brought this scripture. She didn't. Now I know she didn't look at my notes, but the Holy Spirit did. Look at this. For God has not given us a what? A spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, this is our loving Heavenly Father, who is generous and kind in his blessings. He wants us to enjoy a close relationship with him, which is only possible for those who trust and obey him. The Christian life is living under the leadership of the Lord Jesus, who always does what's best for us. He has the best in mind for you. I hope you know that. You see, a lot of us grew up in dysfunctional families. So many of us really couldn't comprehend a true loving father or a true loving mother. Some of you grew up in a one-parent family. And praise God, they did everything they could to put clothes on your back, food on your table. We get that. But the principles of God were really never demonstrated and given, because I look at it like this. God saved my family, our generation. He saved us today to bring salvation back to them. Because our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, and so on, they didn't know the Word of God. So how can they implement principles if they don't even know him themselves? So God came and he destroyed the curse of our generation, saved us, and then we took the gospel back to them. And I was so blessed to baptize my father at the age of 80. He lived another 13 years, praise God. Hallelujah, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. That's right. He saved us to go back to them. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. And before my mom passed, man, my sister was with her in Texas. And I prayed over the phone, and the Holy Ghost lit up in my room and where I was sitting at my desk, and the Spirit of God fell on my mom over there. And the next day, she passed on the surgery table. But man, God got a hold of her right before she checked out. We serve a mighty God. God wants to use us so mightily. But you know what? God is saying, give those things that hinder you. Give them to me, and I will replace it with something awesome, something that you cannot even comprehend right now, but it will glorify the Father when it starts to operate in your life. Look at this. This is how much God loves us. I'm telling you, God loves us. Do you know that God has your back? Do you know that? Look at the scriptures I'm about to read. Can we go on in just a few more minutes? Come on. Do we got? Or don't worry. Those places that you're going to go eat, they still got food there. But this is the love of God for us. Look at this. Look at this. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Look at this. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. I know there's denominations out there that'll implement fear upon you. Man, as soon as you sin, you will lose your salvation. Listen, if you are truly a born-again child of God, you are his until the day of redemption. Even with all your junk in the trunk, he's still going to save you. He's still going to honor what he has called you to do. Listen, we cannot save ourselves. We need the grace of God. Hallelujah. We need the power of God to resurrect us from the dead. Look at this. Hallelujah. I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have what? Everlasting life, and I will raise them up that last day. Somebody need to give them a shout of praise. This is the love he has for us. Oh my gosh. That he won't lose not one of us. That's right. See, there's two camps out there right now. There's the Reformed doctrine and the Arminian doctrine. So the Arminians, I grew up in the Arminian. Man, I used to hear messages all the time. Man, the Holy Ghost is living inside me. I know I'm saved. I know God has changed me. And man, almost every message, man, yet as soon as you start sinning, you're going to be cast into the pit and lose your salvation. He's going to take it back from you. And I used to hear that all the time. I go, wait a minute. So I started reading the word for myself. Because they would pick and choose little things and bring sermons on you. They wouldn't do expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept, book by book. And so, until you start learning how God truly looks at you and what he says about you, now you can embrace him and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Look what it says right here. But you do not believe, he told the Jews this, because you are not of my sheep. See, the Jews always came and tried to mock him and try to tear down his ministry. But he says, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. You got to ask me this. Who can snatch you out of his hand? Who can go to the courts of heaven and say, he's disqualified now? Thank you, Lord. There's three heavens, the atmosphere, then the universe, which is quadrillions and billions and godzillions of light years away. And then the third heaven is above that. So who can go up there and stand before the courts of heaven and say, he's disqualified? Man, there's people that can't even jump more than 3 inches off the ground. Man. And look at this. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You need to take that to the bank. Man, and when the devil comes and lies to you, man, look at that, man. Ooh, man. Oh, man. You know, God hates you. You tell the devil he's a liar, and you tell him that God is coming soon and he's gonna cast you into the lake of fire. You need to know let the devil know where he's about to end up, and that soon and very soon. He's been lying to us all day long. Although although we may want freedom from sickness, sorrow, headache, the Lord he'll use these hardships to remove whatever is hindering our relationship with him. If we want to become the person he desires us to be, we must trust and submit to his lordship. Look at this. What is hindering total surrender? What could it be? This is why when we take communion, we pause and say, oh, God, search my heart. If there's anything that's not like you, take it, God. If I couldn't find parking and I was going, oh, God, forgive me for the complaining. Yeah, I mean, those little areas God wants us, just give them to me. Let me replace it with joy. Why? Why, saints? Because the only way to discover what God will do in our lives is to let go of anything that he says that's not best for us. And so we need to, it is a person, what is it? Is it a person, a possession, a way, a life, a habit? What is it that will hinder us? So now, God is saying, this is the simple fix. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith. How many want to walk by faith? Huh? How many want to walk by faith? That's right. Walk by faith. We're coming in for a close. So, I want to point out these last few principles, and then we can pray and ask God to continue to work mightily in your life. I need each and every one of us in here to know that God loves us so much. He wants the best for your life. And all these prophetic things that are coming, don't fear them. Because right before these things come, because they are coming, because Jesus said that before he comes, all these things have to happen. And then he'll remove us out of the way, the church. But what chances or what changes do we need to make? So ask yourself, is there something in your life that said, God, maybe I need to, change that or change this. Or maybe I thought this was working, but it's not no more. God, show me a better way, a better plan. Oh, God. Look at this. Number one, we must stop rationalizing and excusing our lack of submission to God. Just submit to him. Listen, God spoke to me clearly. We've been praying for a brother to be raised up to teach the men on a Monday night. And I was sitting in there going, yeah, man, praise God for Brother Steve. Praise God. And then I was on my seat in my room, and I heard God clearly speak to me. He goes, and how come you ain't there? Mm. Yeah, Lord, I got to be there too.
Come on.
I want to submit to God. If he speaks to me, I need to submit. I need to be there too. I need to come in there and pray for him and come alongside him and that God will give him what we all need to hear. How God would minister to us. See, what I found out in the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. You're not going to see pastor appreciation days here. You're not going to see none of those shenanigans here. Pastors are called to be servants. We are to serve, not to be served. Can I get amen? Amen. Elders, deacons, leaders, we are to serve the body of Christ.
That's right. That's good.
We're not to be put on a pedestal. That's not the kingdom of God. But nowadays, in all these churches, they have this mindset, you know, honor the man. Honor him. No, you know what? Pray for the man. Pray for me that I will continue in good health and good mind and a heart to serve. Pray for me in that area. I don't want all these other things because they come and go. Material things come and go. It's going to burn in the fire when he comes and finally lights everything on fire. But I want to be caught doing the will of God. I want to be known as he did what Jesus called him to do, was to serve the body of Christ. That to me, he'll have the reward for me in heaven. I'm not looking for anything down here other than to be thankful and grateful for a beautiful family, a wife, grandchildren, people that we can love, people that we can minister to. To me, that's my fulfillment. I don't know about yours, but my fulfillment is to do the will of God. We must stop rationalizing and excusing our lack of submission to God. Number two, trust God. He only does what is best and always keeps his word. He will not deny us anything he's promised. Some of you are praying, oh God, I have some children that just don't want to line up to God's word. Oh God, their hearts are so far away from you. Well, guess what? You keep believing God that he's going to bring them. Don't believe see, the devil will come and say it's too late. You see, when Lazarus was dead in the tomb and Jesus pulled up on the scene and they said, Lord, it's too late. He's been laying there for 4 days and he stinketh by now. So the devil will come to you and say, it's too late. You need to let the devil know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ever think and ask and hope for. Nothing's ever too late with God. Can I get an amen? He may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time. He's always right on time. You need to believe God that he's able. Hallelujah. But the devil will tell you it's too late. And it stinketh by now. You got to look dead in the eye of the devil and says, you know what? You are the father of lies. And I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And start believing the promises of God. You start believing my son, my daughter is going to be saved. My mom and dad is going to be saved. Hallelujah. My cousin, my co-worker is going to be saved. Hallelujah. I picture them. I envision them sitting next to me, worshiping you. Hallelujah. And praising you. That day will come. Hallelujah. It will come and it's going to come very soon. But you got to believe God. You got to just surrender to God first. It starts with me. And once it starts with me, then it will trickle down to everyone else. You know why? Because this world wants to see hope. They want to see real hope, and that real hope is in you. They want to see you walking in faith. Look at number three. Remember that the safest place to be is in subjection to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, when we become his subject, he doesn't make us clown jokers. You know, like back. No, we become servants of the Most High God. He wants to do so many great and mighty things. Look at number four. Surrender today, tomorrow, and every day because it's a lifelong practice that will continue until we meet the Lord in heaven. Every day, wake up, I praise you, I glorify. Even when you don't feel good in your body, you press right through that. Say, you know what? You're a lie, and I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to worship. I'm going to just say thank you, God, even when it hurts. Sometimes you have to praise your way through that situation. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise your way right through it. And so my question is, and we're going to close. I close with these last questions for us. And then I think I have a song here we can sing and worship God and we can do an altar call here. What are you holding on to that God is asking you to release? What is it? Is there something that just, it'll rise up its ugly head every now and then? You go, man, I thought this was gone. And here it comes again. So this time, I really believe that this message that you're hearing today will resonate and it will help you combat that ugly thing that will rise up. So, I heard this message. I'm not going to believe this lie no more. It gets me out of fellowship with God. I want to stay in fellowship with Him. What's keeping you from surrendering it? What's keeping you from it? Is it more precious than God? Is that one thing more precious? Or is Jesus the most precious of all? Are you afraid to surrender to God? If so, why? Why are you afraid to surrender to God? Some people go, man, I can't have no more fun, man. Oh, yeah? Hanging out in the clubs was fun? And then you come home and you're worshiping the porcelain king. All of a sudden, an old uncle shows up. You're calling for Uncle Earl. Earl! What could you lose by surrendering? What could you gain? Everything. I could gain everything from Christ. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I believe there's one more up there. Number 6. Which one has eternal ramifications? Which one does? To me, I feel what God wants for my life is total worship unto Him. Worship and praise, a heart of thankfulness, and to love His word, and to love thy Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And guess what? All the laws of God hinge now on those two scriptures. So no more do we have to fulfill 614 laws. They hinge under two now. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The prophets couldn't get that. They were under the law. They were under the whip. They were under the taskmaster. The law had to point them to the cross. See, the law pointed out all your evil. It pointed out all your sin. Jesus had to come, and He stepped over the law to give us grace. Whoo, man, isn't that something? We were in bondage to sin, and then He, as a judge, came down to be our Savior. He saw the law. He goes, they cannot save themselves on their own merit. I have to come down and die for them and shed my blood for them, that the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the goodness of God is what they need in their life. And so now, we are the blood-washed church of the Most High God. Aren't you so blessed to know that your sins have been forgiven? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Father, I thank You, God, for what You're doing in our lives. I thank You, God, that what You started in us, You will complete it, because You're coming soon. And Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message right now who has never surrendered. They've never given their heart to You. They don't even know who You are other than a bleepity, bleepity, bleepity word, and then Jesus Christ comes right after that. But if you're listening, that name, Jesus, is the only saving name. That's the only name that'll save your soul. It'll prevent you from going to a place called hell. And he will open up the gates of heaven and receive you as one of his. And all you have to do is believe by faith. I'm praying right now, as you're listening to this message, I'm praying that God will give you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. And that you would confess your sin, that you would come to Jesus by faith and watch him do the miraculous. If that's you, pray this simple prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a family. We're going to pray this with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.